Welcome back, everybody, to the Omniverse Comics Guide podcast. We are live on Twitch. Thank you, everybody, who's joining us again live on Twitch. It's been a minute. People that are watching on YouTube, thank you for joining us on YouTube. Give us that thumbs up and subscribe. Leave a comment for us. If you're listening on any other podcast platform, we really appreciate it. Please do the same. And of course, visit us at omniversecomics.guide, where you can get all your reading orders, all our previous podcast episodes, the guests and friends that we've had on the show. Check us out, omniversecomics.guide. That's my pal, Dave.
Oh,
Dave,
hi.
How the hell are you?
I am hell. Like a bat Everybody, out of hell, dude.
Yes. I'm looking a little bit like hell, but that's because it's very cold right now in Canada.
No, you're not. You look real pretty in those specs.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to keep them on tonight. I'm going to flip the hat, but I'm going to keep the specs on tonight. Dave, another incoming.
Oh, yeah. Another incoming. I know we only just did an incoming, but we're just catching up. We're all good. We're going to do March this time. So it's March. It's incoming for March 2026, obviously.
Obviously. We've got a lot of episodes coming your way. We got some guests booked as well. And me and Dave have some episodes in the bag that we're ready to record as well. So you got a lot to look forward to. We'll be back in full force. But for now, take it away.
Is it?
Go for it.
So I'm going to open us up, so to speak, with a bit of a conflicted choice for me. I'm really looking forward to this, but I normally don't say if I'm definitely going to pick it up yet and commit, but I'm not sure on this one, but it should be an instant win. It's Darwin Cook's The Complete Spirit Connoisseur Edition.
That was on my list too.
Was it? Oh, yeah. Actually, that makes perfect sense that it was on your list. It was Darwin Cook. There's a Batman Spirit one shot in there written by Jeff Loeb and inks by J-Bone. It collects the Spirit from 2007, 1 to 6 and 8 to 12. And then Batman the Spirit number one. Now, that in itself is a clue as to why I'm a little bit torn. Because there's an issue missing in the middle of there. And it might be that it's irrelevant. I don't know. I haven't read this run. But I've wanted to for a long, long time. Admittedly, I'm probably holding out for an omnibus or something that collects the entire series. Because I think the original series is about 30-something issues. It's something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, but this thing is apparently going to be a proper beast. It's not cheap. It's not an absolute, but it sounds like it's along that kind of line.
Or yeah, maybe even a connoisseur edition sounds like one of their library editions. They're very nice when they put something out like this. So, and for the price point, you got to figure that there's got to be some bells and whistles to the production quality of it.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah, and the thing is, when DC do the really fancy schmancy books, they are proper fancy schmancy with the old slipcase and the ribbon. You know, I love my ribbons, dude. That's why
That's
I
right.
want the books. I want a ribbon in it. But it's, you know, that kind of production is really, really, it's just top notch, and it does affect the experience when you're reading, I think. But yeah, I'm kind of thinking if they release this and then they do an omnibus, I'm gonna have to rehome it.
This is being published by Image.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, that's where I found it.
Image Comics.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if they've got some licensing thing with the Darwin Cook estate of who can publish certain things and however they want to do it. But to your point, if it was a DC series, I don't think the Spirit was a DC character, right?
This was a DC series. They had the rights to him, and of course there was the Batman. So it started off with the Batman one shot, and then they did the series.
Yeah, so it's interesting too that it's an Image published with a Batman tie-in.
The reason I'm listing it is if you love Darwin Cook, it's been a while since they collected these issues. So why not get them in the best possible format that displays his work in the best possible way? And like, if this is a connoisseur edition, I'm imagining the paper quality is going to suit the style of the art. Like they did with, like IDW did with, what was it called? It was his Parker.
Yes.
So the giant, I'll show it. It's really heavy. The giant sizey sort of, it's not a deluxe, it's a martini edition, but you get the idea.
You know? There you go, martini edition.
So this is bigger than a lot of other things I own. It's huge. Look at it's bigger than my head. And I've got quite a big head, as well you know. It's from not DC, but Image Comics. It's 332 pages, and it's out on the 3rd of March. In some places, it's out in February, which is why I didn't list it last month, but some people are talking about it like it's going to be out earlier. So I think it depends on your source. And you know, right. I like my source. What have you got for your first number one, the first number one of the night, your first of the night?
All right. I'm again being very basic. That was my one Image comic this month. The rest are going to be DC and Marvel. So I'm going to go with things that I can. I'm going to go with some things that I can definitely recommend.
Okay.
I'm not going to purchase this because I own it already in omnibus form. But if you are an Epic Collection collector, or if you haven't read this before and you want to give it a try in a good size chunk, Epic Collection, The Mighty Thor, The Surtur War. And this collects the Walt Simonson, the beginning of his run, issue 337 to 356. This is a wonderful collection of comics. I think the next volume would nearly complete the entirety of his run, because it would almost be like an omnibus war. This is 500 pages, this collection. It would probably go into another volume because there's also the Baldur the Brave stuff, and it adds a little bit of stuff to it. But this is quintessential Thor comics. Walt Simonson at his just his peak. I mean, I hate saying that about someone's career, like this was the best you ever were, but this was the stuff that will always go down at the top of his resume. It's worthwhile comics. If you haven't read this, if you don't own any version of these, get this. You won't be disappointed, especially if you're curious about the character of Thor. This is Beta Ray Bill's debut. Uh-huh. Like, it is a great moment to start reading Thor.
It's great moment after great moment, isn't it? Because it's got the Malekith saga after that. And then it's the Surtur saga. God, it's quite hard to say. It shouldn't be. But it's supposed to be the Surtur saga. I did read it and go, why didn't they call it the Surtur saga? It's not the Surtur war. It's always been the Surtur saga. And then didn't note it down at all out of frustration.
Yeah, it's...
Sorry.
You're right. One thing after the other, and it ends with... there's a finale to this collection. Mm. That, you know, the story continues, the fallout. But this is really good stuff.
Some of the finest comics you'll ever read.
Yeah, highest recommendation. We talk about it quite frequently in tangents because of, you know, where we hold it up in, you know, comic lore. But I'm happy that it's coming out in Epic Collection. It's taken a long time for them to print this. I'm not sure why they didn't do this earlier. But, how much is the omnibus? The page count?
Oh, it's 1,192. So, yeah, it's probably halfy halves.
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah.
And those ones there come with like a lot of bonus things and all the back matter and those.
Admittedly, the Epic collections do also include that stuff. So they which do, is you're great, right. And I'm glad they do. DC Finest books don't tend to, from whenever I've picked one up. So I do like that Marvel do that.
Yeah, no, they. It's a good value for your dollar. I always say the Epic stuff.
Yeah, no, definitely. Do you know what? As well, we can have a look at the comments.
Yeah.
Novelty. So Marble Man says it's easily one of my favorite Thor runs. I mean, yep, 100% easily up there. I can't think of anything that's better in terms of a Thor run, but that's me. And Omega Bread says, I'm ashamed to say I've never read Simonson's Thor run, but I recently picked up the Omni secondhand for 30 quid. For 30 quid?
It's a great deal. Keep it just for the fact that you got it for a steal, because they're good-looking comics. Yeah, I think it's right up your alley, Omega Bread. If I know your taste.
Don't talk about what Omega Bread puts up his alley.
Sorry, my bad. Yes, give it a try, Omega. I'll be interested to hear your take for the first time, because I read it late too. I didn't read it when it was already whatever it was by the time I gave it a read through, but it's so much fun.
It's never too late.
I've read it a couple times.
To come to something that good.
Yeah, it's such a blast.
And it'll make you feel like a kid again. Let us know how you find it in your alley.
All right.
Okay.
Dave, Number two.
I'm going to jump to Marvel for my number two. And yes. I'm going to go to something that I consider to be a modern classic. Part of the reason for it is apparently that they're releasing it is apparently because they are doing a Punisher one-shot on Disney Plus. So this is a slight clue. This is Punisher Welcome Back Frank. It's in the nice little neat tiny little Marvel Premiere Collection style books. It's by Garth Ennis and Steve Dillon. It collects the 12-issue Punisher maxi series from 2000, which is, I mean, look, when I started reading Punisher, it was the 80s. So that's, I got your classic Punisher, you know? That's, it's serious business. He's a killer and it's shameless. And Scrubs is here.
Scrubs! With a boom! Boom.
He's shameless. You know, it's just him killing criminals. By the time we got to Garth Ennis and Steve Dillon, it's the creative team behind Preacher. Their Punisher was hilarious. And that was something we hadn't really seen. You know, when we had a funny Punisher, it was in like issues of What The... And, you know, they managed to squeeze him into anything that's like a guest role, like in Damage Control, where he had a bit of a funny role in that. But it didn't feel right. This feels right because there's an inherent nastiness to the humor. It's very, very dark humor. People die in hilarious ways and they deserve it. So it's so much fun and it's so nasty. But it's not like his... So his Punisher Max stuff is a lot more serious and a lot more like the old school Punisher and gritty and it's mature readers. This was for Marvel Knights. So it was a bit of a different take. It was when they were picking some of the greatest creative teams in comics at the time and these two were nailing it on Preacher and then they jumped over to Punisher and nailed it all over again. They came back after this 12-issue series for another few chunks in the series that followed this. But this stands alone. It's a great 12-issue series. It's a little bit reminiscent of another storyline that was done, but most people haven't read that storyline anyway, which I can't say the name of because YouTube. But I will do a reading order for it soon, so you'll see which one I mean. But it's so good. It's wildly entertaining. Please, please treat yourself to this series if you've never read it, and if you have, double treat yourself. This is great stuff. It's coming out on the 10th of March. It's... some pages. 288 pages. What a pro. Marvel Comics.
The Punisher.
I'm going to join you and stay in the Marvel alleyway.
What is it with you and alleys tonight?
But I had a tickle trunk once. Now it's going to be the alleyway. Welcome back to the Twitch, everybody. Woo! All right.
That gives me the Twitch. Someone's in my alleyway.
It is an omnibus that is easy to recommend if you are an Avengers fan and you are collecting their omnis up to this point. This is a volume 6. And the reason why I'm selecting Avengers volume 6 is the era that it collects is something that I personally enjoyed. Issues 150 to 188. It also has the Jim Starlin Cosmos Altering Thanos War included in this. Some major key moments in Avengers lore if you're a fan of the team. And the one thing different from the X-Men stuff is that these first couple volumes, it's you get a lot of the key Marvel storylines in these Avenger volumes, easy to collect. Where with the X-Men, it's a little bit here, a little bit there. Sometimes it could become disjointed. These ones are easy to follow. Yeah. And this is the Jerry Conway, Jim Shooter, George Perez, John Byrne. Mm. It's just a murderer's row of creators doing some key Avenger stuff. The Korvac saga is included in this. I know some people have different opinions about it, but again, it's one of those key moments in Avengers in Avengers comics, right? And there's so much stuff here that is kind of consequential to the team. The trip to Wonder Gore Mountain, that's a pretty key storyline in Avengers in Marvel, right? There's so many things revealed in that storyline. So this is a really cool omni to have in general, just as an Avengers fan. So I thought I would recommend it to anybody who's on the lookout for these or even wants to have like a key moment of Avengers comics to be reading. This stuff's pretty good. And the preceding volume, the Englehart stuff, is also well regarded by a lot of Avengers fans as well. But this is fun stuff, and it's a great creative team. Like Byrne and Perez on the pencils.
Yeah, you can't go wrong. I must admit, I would get this if it wasn't a volume 6. If they'd just done the thingy era, I would have got it.
Yeah. And if you can get past the numbering of it, to your point,
no.
It is a cool era to have.
It really is. I get There's some great stuff in here.
In the comments, Marvel Man says, love this Avenger era. I'm not reading Omega Bread's comment. We can't say it on the air. BC Scrub says, always interesting when you end up with a tinkle trap. Okay, yeah. See, I didn't read that one ahead of time. Anyways, getting back to our incoming. Dave, number three.
Hi.
What's up, your alley?
What's
number
up?
Three.
Oh, another little clench there. So my number three is the Tom Strong Compendium Volume 2. That's right, the duo that never do number twos. Nine that way.
Now we're doing number sixes and
number
twos.
Number sixes, number twos. Ah, f*** the rules. So this is Tom Strong Compendium 2. Now, obviously, I'm very open about not being a huge Alan Moore fan, but this has Arthur Adams' art in it, so boom, sailed. yes, please. It's a chunker at 752 pages. And there's a lot in here. The first book collected the entirety of Tom Strong, the original series. This has Tom Strong's Terrific Tales 1 to 12, which was an anthology title that had Art Adams in it. Then you've got a couple of miniseries like Tom Strong and the Planet of Peril and Tom Strong and the Robots of Doom, which are written by Peter Hogan, who writes Resident Alien. So, of course, I'm a huge fan of that book. So now I that's given me more reason to want to read these. And Chris Sprouse is back on the art for those. There's loads of stuff in here, and it's almost an extras book in a lot of ways. I'm sure some schmuck is going to do a read in order to put it all together and let you know how it all slots. Take it easy, Brad. But I really want, this was the book I was waiting for, and it's the reason why I didn't sell Volume 1, because I just wasn't getting into Volume 1 like I thought I would. I don't know, it's more... But it's okay. It's all right. It was all right. But this is Arthur Adams. So that's selling it for me. That's literally it. It's from DC Comics. It's out on the 17th of March. I don't know. I think Tom Strong was... It seemed it was being re-released at a certain point because he was appearing in the Terrifics. But it's been
Understood.
A long time since Volume 1. Like, we've been waiting. I thought they weren't going to do Volume 2, to be honest. It's been about two, 3 years.
There's a couple of number twos that I've been waiting for in that DC compendium format that I really, really hope they follow through on, but we'll see. Maybe we can talk about that in a Most Wanted these compendium episode, but yeah.
Happily.
I like when they complete these. That's the reason why you get nervous about starting with a new compendium
some
series,
people
right?
Wait. I think some people were waiting for DC to complete runs, and because people weren't buying them yet, they weren't releasing them, so it's that it got into a vicious circle. But now
it's the reputation
like,
you've developed,
them
right?
Out now we're banging them out. So the question in the chat from Brad is: does this complete the entirety of Tom Strong series, or will there be Volume 3? This is it. So it's two volumes. You've got the whole lot. We're going to take a look at what's new to the Omniverse, starting with character and team reading orders. We've updated Fantastic Four 1981 to 1984, X-Men Family 1971 to 77, X-Men Family 1978 to 81, the Phoenix Saga, that kind of led into the third installment, 1982 to 84, from Broodworld to Battleworld. And by popular demand, the Absolute Universe reading order, featuring the darker versions of Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman, Martian Manhunter, etc., which we'll be adding to and keeping it in one place over time. So that's one that's going to be regularly-ish updated. Comic book crossovers from Marvel, Hulk and X-Factor Clash in the Middle East in War and Pieces, 1992, by Peter David and Del Keown. Win. And DC's controversial Emerald Twilight from 1994, featuring the fall of Green Lantern Hal Jordan. Podcast and video, it's our last incoming episode, which focuses on February 26th's new releases.
Very well done.
Oh, thanks.
Back to the incoming, number three?
Yeah, okay. Take us away.
This is something that both me, I think you've mentioned this, or I've mentioned this in our Most Wanted DC Omnis.
Mm-hmm.
This might be on your list, so if I'm stealing it from you, I apologize. But Earth 2, the New 52 Omnibus Volume 1, I know you've spoken about this. You really enjoyed it. I want to give it a read because of your recommendation and because it's a bit of the hidden gem of the New 52.
It is,
right?
Really.
James Robinson, at a time where I think he was if memory serves, at this time he was kind of going through a creative struggle of trying to like find him his voice, because I remember he did the Airboy series after, which was kind of his story about struggling with writer's block.
Oh,
I don't know if this was during this time,
I'm
but
not sure.
I'm interested to read this James Robinson stuff, because he's a well-regarded and inspirational writer to a lot of my favorite writers. I know Jeff John speaks very highly of James Robinson. So I like when you see a writer of that caliber being able to do what they kind of want to do with characters that aren't being held so precious.
Yeah.
Right. He's able to kind of tell his story. So I'm interested to see what this was all about. And I'm happy that they're putting it out in omnibus form. Finally, they heard us. One of us.
They did. Well, it's nice. I'm glad they're doing it. There's a bit of a strange choice, not to ruin it again, but just to pre-warn, they've got Earth 2 World's End number 10 in the book, so I don't know why they didn't just mix World's End in with the way the crossover works, because it is actually a crossover event. So they've only got number 10. I don't know if they're going to then, if Volume 2, because I think it's a Volume 1, isn't it?
It is. Now, did James Robinson, how long was he on this book for?
About 12 issues, I think, and then it was Tom Taylor.
Okay, and that makes sense. It seems like the type of book Tom Taylor would. This is almost like a...
That's his alley.
Yeah, it's definitely his alley. So again, even more to sell you on. And who's the artist on this?
Nicholas Scott.
I mean... All right. I'm pretty sold on this one. So after issue 26, what comes of this series? Did you enjoy the rest of it?
So... I think it's about 5 or 6 issues. There is a reading order for World's End at omniversecomics.guide. That's when it finishes. And then it sort of goes into Future's End, but doesn't. Then into Convergence. And then it relaunches in Earth 2, The Society, which lasts for about 20-something issues, I think. There's about 4 trades for Earth 2, The Society.
And is it Tom Taylor as well?
I don't want to say... No, I think it's Dan Abnett. It's Dan Abnett, I think.
Interesting.
I mean, I have those books, but I haven't read them yet, because I've been working on an Earth 2 reading order for about 3 years, on and off.
Okay.
And I'm almost there. I just need to read The Society, but I haven't done it yet. So I will do that and get on, and there will be an Earth 2 reading order. However, you might not want to get World's End anyway, because it's not very good.
So this is cool. It's new. It's never been put out in this format. I hope it gives it a new life to the series that people talk about it as well. You've spoken highly about it, and it was only in those DC New 52 trades that for a long time I would see in bargain bins, and I just completely ignored them.
I mean,
because you just felt it was inconsequential, but if you put it in an omnibus, well, now I have to spend all my money on it.
But isn't that right, though? You know, we talk about if it's not mainstream continuity, it's inconsequential. But if it's a good story, and for the most part, it is, it does trail off a bit with World's End, but I'm pretty sure it picks up again with The Society. So expect a little dip, but I think it does fix itself. But just because it's set in an alternate universe doesn't mean it's inconsequential, because if it's good, then you've got good comics. So that's never inconsequential.
That's all that matters. Exactly.
Is it 4?
Yeah. Take us down alleyway number 4.
We find a whale.
Syringes.
That spreads, Ali. This one's got a whale in it. This is a Dark Horse book by Ariella Cristantina. It's called The Girl Who Draws on Whales. And just the imagery alone was what caught my eye. So I was going through stuff and went like, what is that? I need to get that. So it's aimed at 12 to 14 year olds. So I was thinking like, I wonder if my girls are like this. I'm going to read a little bit of blurbage. Artist of the Eisner Award nominated graphic novel, Adora and the Distance, The Girl Who Draws on Whales is a testimony to the power of stories, their uncanny ability to entertain, educate, and ultimately unite us. The Girl Who Draws on Whales is set in a fantasy world several centuries after the Great Flood. Sister Wangi and younger brother Banyu live in a sea village. Wangi has a special bond with the great whales that visit their sea village, and they allow Wangi to draw on their back. Sometimes they return with new drawings on them. Wangi believes that there are other sea villages or island settlements scattered around, and they are sending her messages, but none of the elders listen to her. One day a new whale arrives in the village, alone, wounded and dying. This whale has a new drawing on her back that doesn't look like the previous drawings. Inspired by this mystery, Wangi vows to investigate. There's more blurbage. but I'm just going to tell you, are you all right?
Every time you say, when?
I couldn't see you because you were behind my little book window. I need to see what you're doing, you little trickster. I'm going to keep reading it then. Wangy, along with a stowaway who happens to be our brother Banyu, embark on a wondrous journey to investigate where the drawings are coming from, only to find much more than they were expecting. Apologies, Ariella. I hope this does increase your sales. Oh, I'm sorry.
That was fantastic. I'm sorry. I apologize. But you got to understand there was a delay. You've got the English accent saying Wange.
Definitely.
And it just was perfect for me. Wange, the drawings on the whale's back. Wange sees another. And I'm just like, Wange.
Oh, my face feels like it's going to explode.
I love it.
It's 120 pages. It's out on the 31st of March, so you've got a little bit of a wait for Wangy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I got to get back on track. I love a good laugh.
Sorry.
No, I love it.
Princess, immediate purchase.
Immediate purchase. Immediate purchase. Immediate.
Oh, two simple words.
I'm going to be the basic bitch that I am and go back to the Marvel Epic Collections. This is something I'm going to be buying.
Okay.
That's why I'm going to recommend it. So this is the Avengers Absolute Vision. I've been collecting all of the... That's kind of been my line of epics that I've been completing. The Avengers right from the beginning to about issue 300 or to the end of Roger Stern's run.
Oh, yeah.
So this is starting to really fill in the gaps. And the only thing that's going to be missing will be, I think, the Legacy of Thanos storyline in between. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to have a complete beginning to the end of Roger Stern's run of Avengers and Epic Collection.
Will you stop?
Oh. I think I'll stop there.
Yeah.
And then I pick up at Busick and Perez.
That's a big old jump, isn't it?
It is.
Not tempted it by is. The 90s?
Sometimes. There's some stuff. I got like Operation Galactic Storm collected.
Oh, of course, yeah.
That's and I got chunks and handfuls of it, but I'm not as committed to being like, I got to get to issue 400. Yeah. Because I know that the stuff in the 90s becomes hit or miss and the team's a little unrecognizable, whereas a lot of that stuff is kind of like, the in my mind, the core. And so many major stories are I mean, this isn't the strongest stuff of the Roger Stern run, but it is the first chunk of it, which I'm happy that they're finally putting in these epics. Last year we had the first half of this.
Yeah. It's the Al Milgrom drawn stuff, isn't it?
It is. Which we get, and again, no disrespect to Al Milgrom, but after this you get John Buscema, right? So it's a titan in comicdom, respected by everyone. Like John Buscema on the Avengers with Tom Palmer inks. I love that stuff.
Me too.
And this is, it's just cool to see them filling in the gaps and getting collections completed. So I'm definitely purchasing this. So I was going to put this in my incoming because it's coming home.
Cool. Good. It's no Wangy, though, is it? I'm going to wrap up my end with my number 5. That's right. The crew that doesn't bring you second volumes is another one. But this is significant. This is New Teen Titans Omnibus Volume 2. They did a run of New Teen Titans Omnis, and then they started again. And they included loads of stuff they missed. Like, there were random issues missing. So the original New Teen Titans Volume 2 missed the Who is Donna Troy issue, for example. Then they did the new run. Then they basically said, we're not going to do the run again. Okay. And then, of course, we lost George Perez. And then they re-released Volume 1. And it was a really good price. And I thought, I was never going to get these. I was going to focus on post-crisis to Flashpoint predominantly. Mm. And I thought, I feel like I should own this. But there was no sign of a volume 2. And of course, it's been a few years now since that happened. And they've gone, no, do you know what? We'll hit you up. Here's volume 2. So, okay. We've got the 2026 edition of New Teen Titans Omnibus Volume 2. So if you missed out the first time, I think they re-released volume 1 again recently, possibly. Can't remember. But this one collects Batman and the Outsiders 5, which is a crossover story, a two-part crossover story with New Teen Titans.
Then,
of course,
is.
We have New Teen Titans 21 to 40. Tales of the nice. Teen Titans 41, New Teen Titans Annual. This is all the stuff like with Terra joining the team. You've got Perez Art. They're up against Brother Blood. This is pre-crisis, proper classic Teen Titans finding their feet. That creative duo working perfectly to make one of the most popular DC titles of that era. I think it was probably the most popular DC title of the era, am I right?
Yeah, and this was kind of like DC's answer to the X-Men.
Yeah.
Right? You had Claremont Byrne, Wolfman Perez.
Yeah.
And it was teen drama, soap opera, and a lot of high-stakes stuff that was almost like it was the biggest stories in the DC universe, but it wasn't the Justice League.
Just, it's worth being aware, if you are looking to buy it, that you're definitely, because I did this, I bought Volume 2 and it was the wrong Volume 2. It was the first printing of Volume 2 and it was missing right. stuff and it had an overlap and also it was a struggle to get rid of it. No one wanted it.
Yeah.
So this is the better collection, but it's still not massive.
My number 5. Going back to Marvel, a book that I've talked about in the past, but it was only collected in a single 12-issue trade. I really love this creative team. Anyone who's listened to the show, Mark Waid, Chris Samnee, The Black Widow, Captain America, Omnibus. It's not a big one. It is 536 pages, but what it does collect is Black Widow, issues 1 to 12, which I'm a big fan of that series, and Captain America 695 to 704, which if memory serves, this picks up Captain America after the Nick Spencer, Hail Hydra era of Captain America. And this is kind of like a true to form sort of Mark Waid is here, Cap is back, let's set the table again. These are a lot of fun comics. I really, really enjoyed the Black Widow series. I've read it a number of times. Chris Samnee's art, is the motion to it, there's just something about it that it's simple, but it's so fluid. And there's scenes in the Black Widow book, even in the Captain America stuff, that the action sequences and you just, your eyes shift as though it's the page is actually in motion. But it's nice to see them put this together. It's all of the same sort of era. So it has a good melding point of the creative team in that creative space working on all cylinders for these type of characters, right? They're working out on it at the right time, kind of in a flow state. But it's cool they're putting this out there in an omnibus form. Fun comics. You can't go wrong with Waid and Samnee. So that's my number 5. Dave, do you have any alternatives?
I do. I've got a few, dude. From Dark Horse, we've got Helen of Windhorn. Oh, yeah. Dark Horse are really wanging it up tonight. It's the deluxe edition. It looks real pretty. That's by the creative team behind Supergirl, The Woman of Tomorrow. Also, Yuri Tupka and the Gods. That's another story from Lands Unknown. So that's a Mike Mignola thing. DC Comics, Batman Beyond Unlimited Compendium is coming out. So that's more recent Batman Beyond stuff. Elseworlds, Batman Omnibus is an oversized hardcover, 1,376 pages. Flinch, The Complete Collection, which was a Vertigo series. Green Lantern, The Sinestro Corps War Compendium is the second volume of the Geoff Johns and Tomasi era. This shows that they're committed. They're doing the second book. Image Comics, Deadly Tales of the Gunslinger did appeal to me. It's a Western Spawn title. News from the Fallout is an interesting looking black and white series. Finally, one that was going to be on my 5, X-Men The Road to Onslaught Omnibus.
I had DC Finest Superman Time and Time Again during the Triangle era. Reborn, Library Edition from Mark Miller Greg Capullo. I'm a big fan of that story. 6 issues. This is a very fun book. And then the other one was X-Factor, the original X-Men Omnibus Volume 2. Thank you everybody that's been on the chat tonight. It was fun having everybody back. It's good to get a good laugh in together. And please visit us at omniversecomics.guide. If you're looking for a reading order, how to keep up with some of the comic books that you crossovers, big events, look no further than Dave's reading orders. They're second to none. Thank you for joining us, Dave.
Yeah.
As always, pleasure, sir. I missed you. I missed everybody.
Oh, it's good to missed be together you. I missed again. You all.
Yeah,
it's
I really
been great
did.
To be back.